2 Corinthians is a very unusual book in the New Testament because it deals with gossip and slander. Starting with chapter 1, Paul the Apostle starts responding to gossip and slander, and we're going to be talking about that in a little bit. He starts his defense and he continues then for 13 chapters. In chapter 1, he starts defending his integrity. In chapter 2, he reaffirms his love. In chapter 3, he states that his ministry is of a new covenant, and apparently the reason he does that is because he is coming under attack for what he is teaching. And then in chapter 4, he defends his apostleship. And then chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, and he just keeps on going. And when he gets to chapter 10, Paul then starts to reveal the nature of the gossip. I mean, up for about 9 chapters, the apostle basically is laying out his defense. And when he gets to chapter 10, then all of a sudden you start finding out what the gossip apparently is all about. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, I'd like to invite you to turn there if you're not there already. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, we read the following. For they say, Paul is talking about his detractors, the people who are doing the gossip, the slander. For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, Paul says, that what we are in word by letters when absent, such persons we are also indeed when present. In verse 10, Paul makes the point that his detractors are saying that his letters are weighty and strong, but he's not really very impressive. And oh, by the way, when he speaks, he's contemptible. The idea is that he doesn't look impressive and his speech isn't impressive. It's just his letters sound really awesome. His letters sound impressive, but in reality, Paul is, he's nothing. He is really a nothing. So why are you following this nothing is kind of the implication. It's a put down. It's an insult to Paul. Dr. J. Vernon McGee has a comment about these two verses. Here's what he said. A great many folk compare themselves among themselves, which is the reason why many people in our churches think they have arrived. They feel they are really fine, outstanding spiritual Christians because they compare themselves with other Christians in their group. That is not the yardstick we are to use, my friend. This is one of the tragedies of the hour. A person can be in a cold church and grow cold himself and yet not be conscious of it because he compares himself with other cold Christians around him. We all need to be around other Christians who challenge us. There are too many Christians who are in some little clique or group or church and they feel smug and satisfied because they are all in the same cold boat. And such is the origin of gossip and slander. Dr. McGee, I think, has got it right. When you come to the next chapter, in chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, we discover some more information about the detractors. In verse 4, Paul says, "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear it beautifully." It's a put down. Paul says, you know, somebody else comes along and they preach a false doctrine to you and you think, oh, this is really great. This is really cool. Man, I learned something really cool today. I learned some new information. And Paul says, well, wait a minute. You don't understand. You just listened to heresy. You listened to something that was false. And they think it's beautiful. That's what the New American Standard says. You hear this and it's beautiful to your ears. You think this is really great. Verse 5, for I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. Verse 5 implies to us that they were going around saying that they were superior apostles. Paul was an inferior apostle, if in fact he was an apostle at all, is what they're claiming. And they are the real apostles. They are more important than Paul. They are the super apostles. And they are telling them the real truth, verse 6, but even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. Paul says, well, maybe I am unskilled when I speak. Maybe I am not the best orator. Maybe I'm not the best speaker, but when it comes to knowledge, I've got a lot. Why does he say that? Because God gave it to him. That's why. In fact, in every way we have made this evident to all of you in all things. For did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge? What verse 7 also reveals to us is that apparently the detractors were faulting Paul because he had paid his own way. He did not receive any money from the Corinthians. And so they saw this as a problem. They faulted Paul for not taking any money from them. It very well may be that what they were claiming is that Paul wasn't important enough so that the church didn't give him any money. It's also possible that they were accusing him of stealing from other churches to support his ministry among the Corinthians. Little did they stop to realize that maybe, just maybe, in fact, he was a missionary preaching the gospel to see more people come to know Jesus. So they're finding every excuse, every opportunity to criticize Paul, and so they were slandering Paul, they were gossiping about Paul. The Corinthian church, watch this, was rife with gossip about Paul, and it was a big issue. And if we were to go back and pick 2 Corinthians apart, we find that Paul sent letters, he sent Timothy trying to undo the error, trying to undo the slander and the gossip. Watch this, the Corinthian church was a mess because they accepted the slander, they accepted the gossip. Huge problem for Paul. And then look at verse 12. Paul now starts to describe his critics. He says, but what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which we are boasting. For such men are false apostles. Now, that's important to note. Paul is saying that they're not real apostles. They're deceitful workers disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. You know what Paul's just done here? Paul has just said that his detractors, that his critics, that his slanderers, or the gossipers are actually tools of Satan. They are coming across like they are angels of light. And so Paul is really coming on heavy, but he's telling the truth. I mean, this is unbelievable to think about the Apostle Paul having to deal with slander and gossip and having to defend his apostleship. He had to defend his apostleship in order to have a ministry among the Corinthians. Well, that's a great example of what gossip and slander can do in a church. It's a great example in the pages of Scripture about gossip and slander. The message is, gossip and slander is ugly. And our study this morning is about slander and about gossip. And we're going to look at four problems with slander and gossip. And the first one is that slander and gossip are sin. Now that probably seems to be obvious, but I'd like to lay it out this morning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 28. Verse 28 is a very important little verse because it sets this tone for what follows. And verse 32 is the culmination, is the climax. And we're going to see when we get to verse 29 that gossip appears there and then slander appears in verse 30. So let's start with verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God, that is that they know the law of God, they know what God expects, that those who practice such things are worthy of what? Death. The message, they know that they are worthy of death. That implies to us that all the things that were listed here are sins. Now, if we're not really sure they're sins, All you got to do is stop and look. It's pretty obvious. Murder is sin. In fact, that's part of the Ten Commandments. We're told not to murder. At the end of verse 30, it talks about being disobedient to parents. That's also part of the Ten Commandments. We're not supposed to do that. And everything in the middle is also a sin. Strife and deceit and malice and gossips and slanderers. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us, when we think about gossip and slander, we think, oh, yeah, it's a sin, but in reality, I think a lot of us practice it. In fact, all of us practice it. In fact, I don't think there's anybody in this room that has not committed slander or gossip at some point in your life. And if you don't think you are, you're kidding yourself. And if you're not sure it's really a sin, just look how it's all nestled in there with all these other things. Gossip and slander is really snuggled in there with murder and deceit and strife and malice and haters of God and insolent and arrogant. I mean, look at all the sins around it. If you're not sure that gossip and slander is a sin, all you got to do is look at other descriptions around it. It has a great community. Well, in verse 29, when it says gossip, it comes from a very interesting Greek word. And it has the idea of providing harmful information about a person. It can also be translated as whispering. That is, a person who is a gossip is one who whispers. They whisper, whisper, whisper. A slanderer, a secret slanderer, a tale bearer, one who attacks a person's character. That's a gossip. And did you notice that it says that a gossip is one who is a slanderer, and also a secret slanderer, a talebearer, one who attacks a person's character. That's what pisuristes means. That's what the Greek word means of the English word that's translated as gossip in verse 29. So if you want to know what the Bible means, what God means when he says a gossip, it includes a gossip being a slanderer. The difference is that a gossip is one who slanders and slanders and slanders and slanders and slanders. They have to make a pattern of doing it. It's a pattern of life. And then in verse 30, we're told that a person who deserves death is also a slanderer. The word for slanderer here in the Greek is katalalos, and it has the idea of one who gives an evil report, a defamer, one who speaks against another. Have you ever done that? Have you ever spoken against another? Have you ever defamed somebody else? Have you ever given an evil report about somebody? About somebody to somebody else who didn't know about this person, or maybe they knew about the person and you knew something that was evil and they didn't know it and you passed it on. If you've ever done that, then you're a slanderer. You've committed slander at some point in your life. Katalalos is a compound word. That means it comes from two different Greek words. The first part of that is kata, and the last part of the word, or lalos, comes from another word that's referred to as laleo. Laleo means to speak, and kata means against or down. So it's the idea of speaking against a person, or speaking down about a person. Kittle, in his mammoth 10-volume Greek lexicon, which is really a Greek dictionary, says that kata reveals that slander is a hostile act. Slander is a hostile act. You know what that implies? That slander has wrong motives. A slanderer wants you to think badly of that person. And so gossip does as well. Gossip wants you to understand that this person is really bad, usually. Maybe not always. That's the major difference between pisuristes and katalalos. In reality, pisuristes includes katalalos. A gossip is one who slanders and slanders and slanders and slanders. A slanderer is somebody who's done it once or twice or occasionally, but a gossip is one who makes a living out of doing it. This is a pattern of life. They live to gossip. John Dryden, 17th century British dramatist and poet, wrote the following. He says, "There is a lust in man no charm can tame, of loudly publishing his neighbor's shame. Hence on eagle's wings immortal scandals fly, while virtuous actions are but born and die." What's his message? We just love to gossip. And we love to publish our neighbor's shame. And it tells us that the gossip, it has immortal wings. It just goes on and on and on and on. And when it comes to talking about the good things, we don't talk about the good things because they're not the juicy stuff. His message is, we just love to gossip. We just love to slander. We've all heard of the grapevine. You know, you tell somebody one thing and then it goes on to something else and somebody else. Well, someone has said that gossip travels faster over the sour grapevine. That's true. Another has said that some secrets are worth keeping. Others are too good to keep. And we find something really bad and we just can't wait to tell somebody else because we found the latest gossip, the latest dirt. I was interested. I went on the internet to do some searching about gossip, and I was dumbfounded to find out how many gossip sites there are. They advertise themselves as gossip sites. They find it a virtue. They advertise themselves as a gossip site. You can go to and find out all the latest stuff that there is about people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'd like you to turn there if you would. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find another word that's translated as slanderer. Katalalos is the first one. It has the idea of passing on an evil report. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, we find another word that's sometimes translated as slander. But I'll start with verse 1 so we get the context. It says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good," and it goes on. What does Paul say here? What does God tell us by the Holy Spirit? He tells us that in the last days, gossip's going to get worse. Worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the Greek word that's used here for malicious gossip is diabolos, the word that is often translated as devil. And it means slander. That's a pervasive word. The New American Standard calls it malicious gossip, but most of the other translations call it slander. So this is another word for slander. And watch this. The devil is one who lies. The devil doesn't just operate in evil reports. He just outright, blatantly lies about people. So this reveals to us that there are two kinds of slander. There is the slander that's an evil report about somebody, and then there's slander that's just an outright, blatant lie about someone. There's two types of slander. Frank Clark has kind of summarized the point this way. He said, "Gossip needn't be false to be evil. There's a lot of truth that shouldn't be passed around." And he's right. Gossip doesn't have to be a lie to be evil. There's just a lot of bad information about people that we shouldn't be passing on. So consequently, what we find in Scripture, like in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, is that we are told that a deaconess cannot be a gossip, actually cannot be a diabolos. Cannot be like the devil, talking about other people to other people. One of the qualifications of a deacon, and by implication also a qualification of an elder, as well as an elder's wife, is that they are not to be a gossip. They are not to be slandering people. What they know about people, they need to keep to themselves and not pass on. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, I won't turn there, but if you're taking notes, I invite you to write it down. We're told that young widows are to get married. In fact, Paul encourages them to get married. Why? So that they won't gossip. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, we're told that older women are not to gossip. Now, if you stop to think about this for a second, you have deaconesses who aren't supposed to gossip, younger widows aren't supposed to gossip, and older women aren't supposed to gossip. Somebody might think, well, God is saying that only women gossip. No, that's not true. Men gossip too, but maybe it does imply that women might have more of a propensity towards that. I don't know. But it is interesting that women seem to be the target in the pages of Scripture for it. Turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 9. James 5, verse 9 takes us on a little different course. Here we read, "Do not complain, brethren, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." What's the message? If you judge somebody else, if you complain about somebody else, you better watch it, because Jesus Christ, he's standing right there at the door. And guess what he is? He's a judge. And he's going to judge your heart. He's going to find you wanting. And the implication is you're not going to enjoy the response, the result. Watch this. Complaining often motivates slander. Complaining often results in slander. It motivates it, and it's a source of slander. Because we get unhappy with somebody. Maybe we're offended. We didn't like what happened to us. Watch this. We're not forgiving. We're not forgiving. I'm going to repeat it a third time. We're not forgiving, and so what do? Our mouth starts to try to get us some comfort. And because we're hurting, we look for comfort. And we start complaining about the person, called slander and gossip. It might be true, but it doesn't need to be passed on because it's an evil report. And oh, by the way, in your speculation maybe about what you thought that they really meant by what happened to you, you might actually also be guilty of being a diabolos, inventing lies. And passing on lies about people as though they were truth because you didn't get the facts down right because you assumed the worst. That's really wicked stuff. Really wicked stuff. So what's the second problem about slander and gossip? It shatters lives. That's what the second problem is. Proverbs 16, verse 28 tells us that it breaks up friendships. Listen, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. That's Proverbs 16, 28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. I like the last part of that verse. And it's important for us to focus on it for a second because it says a slanderer separates intimate friends. It implies that there were two people who were really good friends together, and all of a sudden along comes a slanderer and causes them to separate. The Hebrew word for separate has the idea of creating a revolt. Think about that for a second. A slanderer creates a revolt between two friends, causing them to separate. That's a really descriptive word. And that's what slander does. The slander causes a separation. It can happen in a church. It can happen in a family. It can happen in a community. As I was listening to some of the political dialogue the last week, I couldn't help but realize that probably most of the stuff that we hear on the news is nothing but gossip, nothing but slander. One guy trying to slander another person to make you think the wrong thing about the person. It tells you how wicked and evil the political process and the news media is because they don't bother oftentimes to check it out to make sure it's true. Psalm chapter 50, verses 19 to 21, we find out that slander and gossip damages families. Here's what the passage says. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother, and you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence, God says. You thought I was just like you. God is just like us? I don't think so. God's a lot different than we are. And this passage says that you speak against your brother, and you slander your own mother's son. Slander is really wicked stuff. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, remember 2 Corinthians is about Paul defending himself against slander and gossip? What you find in verses 19 and 21 is that Paul then challenges the Corinthians to not be involved in slander and gossip. He finally just lays it out. He says, don't do it. And he lists a bunch of other sins that are associated with gossip and slander. So what's the third problem with slander and gossip? The third problem is that slander and gossip is seductive. Turn with me to Proverbs 26, 22. Proverbs 26, 22 is great. It's also very convicting because when we read it, we realize that it's true. Proverbs 26, verse 22 says this, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Did you get that? says the words of a whisperer, that is a gossip, are like dainty morsels. Some Bible translations say delicious morsels, others say choice morsels. But the word, watch this, dainty and delicious and choice, the Hebrew meaning is one who eats greedily. One who eats greedily. You get it and you wolf it down. You just get all you can get. You just eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it. So the words of a whisper are things that we just eat, we cherish, we want it, we want all we can get. What a sad picture of how we respond. When's the last time that somebody told you something, they were telling you about somebody, and you just said, ooh, you just wanted, oh yeah, please tell me. I'm interested. And we do that, don't we? It tells us that verse 22 of Proverbs 26 is absolutely right. We eat it up like dainty food, like delicious food. We just can't get enough of it. But why do we do it? Why do we gossip? Why do we defame other people? Why do we share evil reports about people? Why do we tell lies about people? The answer is that we get hurt. We get offended. And we want to nurse our hurt. We want to get some comfort, and so we share it with somebody else. Maybe we say, oh, I need some counsel. And so you go from this person, I need counsel here, and I need counsel here, and I need counsel here, and after 12 people, you're still going on needing more counsel. Reality, what you're really doing is you're gossiping. You're not interested in really getting advice. You're interested in saging your hurt, and you do it the wrong way. You do it by slandering somebody and gossiping somebody, and oh, by the way, you never bothered to go back to the person to talk it through, to work it out, to find out why it really happened. In fact, I rather suspect that most of the time, the person doesn't even know they offended you. You know you're offended, and then you just start speculating about all the reasons as to why they did it. And, oh, that person's bad, and this person's this, and this person's that. Well, maybe it was very innocent on their part. We're not very objective, are we? Because in reality, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, tell us what our problem is. Listen. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, believes the good about people, hopes all things, endures all things. Gossips and slanderers don't do that. They're looking to get some comfort. They're looking to hurt someone. The fourth problem with slander and gossip is that it's self-revealing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18 tells us the following, "He who spreads slander is a fool." Pretty strong words coming out of the pages of Scripture. It tells us that we're a fool. The idea is that one who continually does that is a fool. You might think you're not a fool, but Scripture says you are. That's Scripture's verdict. That's God's verdict. If you have a habit of telling bad things about other people to other people and not good things, then Scripture says you're a fool. That's God's verdict. James chapter 3, verse 6. Listen to this. I'm going to read for a little bit. Very interesting passage. It says, "The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds and of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does the fountain send forth from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding?" Listen closely. "Let him show by his good behavior his good deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. For if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Can I make a suggestion? That those who slander and gossip aren't making peace. They're sowing discord. They're coloring one's view about somebody else when in fact they may be absolutely, totally innocent. Those are the four problems with gossip. How about six warnings about gossip? I'm going to go quick. We have already discovered the first warning, and that is that one who commits gossip is not qualified to be a leader in the church, be it a deaconess or, by implication, an elder. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 is a second warning. It tells us not to associate with gossips. It says this, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." If you know somebody who is a gossip, you know what Scripture tells you to do? Ignore them. Ignore them. Have nothing to do with them. The third warning is that of which God says that there are six things that He hates. Listen, there are six things which the Lord hates, and guess what is at the end of the passage? This is Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. At the very end of the passage, He says, "And the one who spreads strife among his brothers." Guess who spreads strife? Gossips and slanderers. There's a fourth warning, and it comes from Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. It says this, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment." So if you gossip and slander about somebody else, guess what is going to happen when it comes around to judgment day? There's a fifth warning. The fifth warning is illustrated by an interesting story, and I'd like to just read the story for you. Here it is. A woman repeated a bit of gossip about a neighbor, and within a short period of time, the whole town knew about the story. A person it concerned was deeply hurt and was very unhappy, which you would not be too surprised at that would happen. And then one day, the lady responsible for spreading the rumor learned it was completely untrue. She was very sorry and went to a wise old sage to find out what she should do to repair the damage. After listening to her problem, he said, "Go to the marketplace, purchase a bird, and have it killed. Then on your way home, pluck its feathers one by one and drop them along the path." Although surprised by this very unusual advice, the woman did as she was told. The next day she returned and informed the man that she had done as he had instructed. "Now go and collect all those feathers and bring them back to me," he said. The woman followed the same path, but to her dismay, the wind had blown all the feathers away, and after searching all day long, she returned with only two or three in her hand, all that she could find. "You see," said the old gentleman, "it's easy to drop them, but impossible to bring them back." So it is with gossip. It doesn't take much to spread a false rumor, but you can never completely undo the wrong. And that's one of the major problems of gossip, and it's true, is that you can spread it, and later on you may find that you were in error, but you can't undo it. There's a Spanish proverb that actually gives us the sixth warning. It says this, "Whoever gossips to you will gossip about you." And that's true as well. Lastly, I'd like to conclude with this statement. Usually it is impossible to verify the truthfulness of gossip unless you choose to reveal the gossiper, and if you don't, then you've just assumed that the gossip was true. And the problem is you don't know that. So there it is. Scripture says what? Don't do it. And there's lots of reasons not to do it. So how should we respond this morning? Well, there are two categories. First of all, if you're a gossip, if you're a gossiper or a habitual slanderer, and by the way, if you think that I'm exempt or if you think you're exempt from slander or gossip, we have all done it. Gossip, though, implies somebody who is currently actively doing it, but I think at some point in our life we're guilty of every one of these. But the first thing to do is to confess your sin. Tell the Lord that you have been guilty of it, and if you can remember some situations, tell the Lord exactly what it is you've done. Confess it as a sin. Second thing is to flee gossip and slander. Now you say, well, how do I know what's gossip and slander? We've learned three things from the pages of Scripture. First of all is that it has a wrong motive. It's also a sin, and it's negative. So if you put it all together, this is how you can identify slander and gossip. Is what you're going to share necessary? If it's not, then don't. Okay? Second thing, is it harmful information about the person? Now that helps us, because otherwise the first one would eliminate everything. You couldn't share anything, because probably nothing we can say, whether good or bad, what do you need to pass on to somebody? Very little. So the second one helps us. If it's bad information and it's not necessary, then don't do it. And you say, well, when is it necessary? Maybe there's a warning that you need to give to somebody. If it involves church discipline, that might be necessary. So those are two major points. And there might also be some needful, true information also that needs to get passed on. So is it necessary? Is it harmful? And then finally, the third part to it is, what's your motivation for sharing it? What's your motivation for sharing it? If you're a gossip, we've already said, confess your sin. Flee gossip, and then finally, if you share the negative situation with a counselor, but only when necessary. In other words, the point is that you might feel like you need some counsel. Then if you need to share the negative situation with somebody, that is with a counselor, then pick your counselor. Don't pick a bunch of counselors. Because if you pick a bunch of counselors, what have you become? A gossip. Okay, the next thing is that what if you are listening to somebody? Here are four things to think about. First of all, if they are talking about someone, ask them, why are they sharing it? Okay, good question. Why are they doing it? Next one is, have they discussed this with a person already? I think most gossip and most slander would disappear if they would just go back to the person and clarify what they meant by what happened or what they said. So the next thing is, if someone's sharing something negative to you, ask them, have they gone back to the person already? Third thing is, are they looking to you to be their counselor? And then the fourth one is, they refuse to listen if you've come to the conclusion they're gossiping and they don't want you as a counselor. Those are how we can respond. And I'd like to conclude on a positive note. It's been a little bit negative this morning. The next verse tells us from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, is, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. And what Scripture tells us? All we need to do is to let our words be seasoned with grace. Now, obviously, sometimes we don't get there. Sometimes we sin. So what do? Confess. But our goal should be is to let our words always be seasoned with grace. Can I encourage you to do something? Next time you talk to somebody, think about something good about somebody else to tell them. Think about good things about other people that you can share with somebody else. Focus on sharing good things. It'd be a good habit to get into. Think about something good about somebody else to share with somebody else. Let's pray.